All right, Psalm 103, look at verse 1. It said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." You know, when it comes to jobs today, the most important thing that most people are looking for, they're looking for benefits. You know, what kind of benefits does the job offer? And certainly that's what means a lot to a lot of people today, are the benefits, especially with the rising cost of health care. You know, it's almost gotten to the point that no one can afford to get hurt anymore because, you know, it's hard to pay for the insurance. I know that my son, he got a rude awakening. You know, he's 23 years old, and he thought that everything was pretty easy, just, you know, go to work and earn the money and, you know, and do whatever. And then he got introduced to taxes, and that kind of caught him off guard. And then he also, once he got off of my insurance, he has to pay his own. And that was kind of a rude awakening too. And so he's understanding the importance of benefits today. And certainly benefits are a good thing to have. But if you think about it, as Christians, we have some pretty valuable benefits of being a Christian, don't we? I mean, if you think about the benefits that we have, certainly we have future benefits. Like for instance, we know that we're going to go to heaven one of these days. And that's a great benefit to know that regardless of what happens, we're all just that one heartbeat away from being in the presence of the Lord. And that is a great, great benefit. And you know, and I don't take that lightly. It's a wonderful benefit to have, to know that, you know, I've always been one of those people that like the security of knowing where I'm going to be, say this time next week or next year. It's nice to know that 1,000 years from right now, we know where we're going to be. Amen. That's a great benefit. But you know, there are some benefits that we have besides that as far as being a Christian. And you say, well, what are some of those benefits? Well, some people believe that the benefits we have is wealth, but that's not really true. Wealth is not a benefit of being a Christian. Especially not earthly wealth. If you think about it, Jesus and the apostles were quite poor. And looking around here tonight, I don't see any millionaires. However, if you happen to be and you're hiding it, just remember your pastor, okay? How about health? You know, health is really not a benefit that we have as being a Christian. Paul suffered an illness, and he prayed the Lord would remove that illness 3 times. It was his thorn in the flesh. And that's when God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And so you can't really say that health is a guaranteed benefit of being a Christian. You can't really say that safety is a guaranteed benefit of being a Christian. If you look at Paul and his 3 missionary journeys, I mean, he was in shipwrecks and beatings, and all the apostles were martyred except for John. And he was, you know, we were told that he was tortured. So safety is really not a benefit. And if you think about it, you know, some people say, well, there's always God answering, you know, giving you everything that you want. How many of you understand that God does not give you everything that you want, but he does provide your every need? Okay, now sometimes we get that thing messed up. We start to think that our needs and our wants are the same thing, and they're not. There are a lot of things that we need, but the things we need are not necessarily the things we want. Sometimes the things that we need are just the exact opposite of the things we want. And so a lot of people think, well, you know, one benefit would be that I get everything I want. That's not true either. We don't get everything we want. And I will tell you this, that's kind of a hard thing to explain to a non-believer. You know, you say, well, I thought that you worshiped the God that answered your prayers. And, you know, sometimes unbelievers, when they hear that, you know, that we don't get everything that we want, they don't understand that. But then again, if you explain to them as a father, what a father provides for his child, we don't always give our children everything that they want. Amen? I mean, some of the things they want is just bad for them. And we say, no, you can't have that. Now, the world understands that part, but they can't relate how our Heavenly Father will give us what we need rather than what we want. And it's sometimes hard to explain to them. Sometimes it's hard to explain to Christians too. And so what are the benefits we have as Christians today? Well, if you think about it, if you just sit and think about what it means to be a Christian today and what are the benefits of being a Christian today, There's probably a whole lot more benefits that we have forgotten about or that we're not even aware of than the ones that we are aware of. When it comes to different benefits, certainly we could say that we get physical benefits from being a Christian, such as food and raiment. We can look at that. Turn, if you would, over to Matthew chapter 6. Just going to look at a few benefits tonight I want to remind you of. And I hope tonight that nobody has taken benefits for granted, but the truth of the matter is I think we all do. So I just want to remind you of a few benefits tonight that come with being saved. Matthew chapter 6. And I think this is the one benefit that we may take for granted from time to time. Matthew chapter 6, look if you would, starting at verse 25. The Lord says, "Therefore I say unto you," Matthew 6, 25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow it is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Now, the truth of the matter is I think everybody in here tonight, if you really think about it, the Lord has provided quite a bit for you. And you know, you may not have, you know, the super expensive car, the super expensive house, but I tell you this, if you look at the things that you do have, you are blessed. Everybody in here is blessed. And, you know, and I tell you this, at one time I got to see, and I there's no doubt there's poverty in this country. There are people facing poverty today. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, I've actually been to part of the world where I see people, a whole family staying under a piece of plyboard. I've actually seen that. There was one time that I was in the military and we had our shelves that were right by our cots. And we got ready to leave and obviously we couldn't take the shelves with us. I mean, there's quite a few shelves and we'd have like little books or whatever we'd have on there. We made them out of plyboard. And so they had us take these homemade shelves that we had made out of plyboard and we took it to this big holding area before we got on the plane to leave. And when we started putting them on there, we were in a country called Oman. It was just off the coast. Well, it was just off the coast of Oman, and when we were dropping these shelves made out of plyboard there, there were complete families that were laying underneath those things, and that was their home. The shelves that I had used for books, and so that's quite a bit of poverty. Now, like I said, there's poverty today, but if you look at what the Lord provides for you. It's hard for you to think for a second the Lord doesn't provide for his children, and he does. And so I think that's one thing that we take for granted. You know, if you think about just this church and the fact that, you know, it's cold outside and the snow outside, but yet we're sitting inside and there's heat and you've got, you know, the chairs here that are padded. You go home tonight and you've got a blanket to put over you to keep you warm and you've got a roof over your head. That makes you richer than much of the world today. And we have those things, and certainly that is a great benefit that the Lord provides for us. He provides for us clothes and shelter, and certainly we need to be thankful for that. And that is a benefit. We also have great social benefits as well, such as friends and family. I mean, today, if you think about the family that you have, your children, I don't know if the Lord laid this on my heart because we got Thanksgiving coming up or not, but you know, if you think about your family that you have, your sons, your daughters, your spouse, your mom and dad if they're still alive, that is a great social benefit. But at the same time, you have a church family, and if you think about what a benefit that is that, listen, you wouldn't have that unless you were saved. I mean, you could, I guess there are people today that are playing the game, acting like they're saved and they're not saved. I have no doubt that there are people in church today who are not saved. And just because you come to church certainly doesn't put you in the family of God, amen? But what we do have, if you're saved, then you have a church family. You have people that you can come together and worship the Lord with, come together and have fellowship with, and you have that benefit. And I'll tell you something, even though sometimes that church family, there are people in there that just kind of rubs you wrong, I will tell you this, there are no perfect churches out there. None. Zero. At the same way, there are no perfect families out there. Now, if you think about this, if today you decide to have a family reunion within your family, and you invite everybody, how many of you tonight would say there's always that one uncle or that one aunt that people just, I mean, it just rubs you wrong, or, you know, people don't get along with, you know, he's kind of nuts, kind of weird. You know, that one person family that when your son say, hey, mom, dad, who's that person over there? And you say, well, that's Uncle so and such. He's kind of weird. You know, we all have that one person or that couple of people. Well, it's no different in your church family. In your church family, you're going to have those people that are just, well, they're not the nicest part of the family, and sometimes they rub you wrong. And you know what? How many of you would agree tonight if you had a family reunion that there might be a squabble, or there have been in the past? You know, Uncle George and Aunt Margaret aren't getting along, you know, or this uncle and that uncle aren't getting along, or mom's great uncle and you know, and dad's first cousin, they don't see eye to eye, and, you know, don't get them together and all this stuff. It's kind of the same thing in your church family. But boy, I tell you what, when somebody from the outside comes in, we all stick together, amen, because we're family. Well, that's the way it is in your church family too. Now listen, you didn't get that church family until you got saved. You're able to come to church and you have the body of Christ that comes in, and we're all meeting together here, and we all get along, and we all care about each other. We all pray for each other. We all go and we all intercede before the Father for our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we pray for each other. Isn't that a great benefit to have? Amen. That's what you got. The moment you got saved, you had the opportunity. I mean, we're all in the body of Christ, but you have that opportunity to come together and meet together and be a church family. And I'll tell you this, I'm thankful for my church family, because whenever something happens in my family, my wife gets sick or my kids get sick, I've already got people praying for that. Now, that's a great benefit, isn't it? That people are praying for each other, that we go before our Father on the behalf of each other. And I tell you this, folks, it's good to be together now, but we're all going to be together forever. Amen? And so that's a great thing to have. We have a church family, and that church family is never going to end. We'll all be together for a long, long time. So I tell people, if there's somebody you're not getting along with today, some believer, you better hurry up and fix it, because you're going to be around that believer for eternity. You know, and so got to make sure you fix that, okay? And some may say, well, my church family irritates me. Well, any family is going to have people that are going to irritate you. But certainly that's something we shouldn't, that's a great benefit that we should not take for granted. So we have physical benefits. We have social benefits. We also have intellectual benefits, I guess you could say. And the Lord provides that, because it's His own revelation found in nature, found in history, found in the Bible. Psalm 97:6 says, the heavens declare His righteousness, and all the people see His glory. Turn, if you would, over to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And I want to show you a little bit more of this, of His revelation that we see. Basically, we have the benefit of having Christ revealed to us more and more. The more we read our Bible, the more we can know Jesus Christ. And certainly, the moment you were saved, you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But let's face it, the moment you got saved, you really didn't know a whole lot about Jesus Christ, other than the fact that He died for your sins, that He was buried and He rose again the third day, and you know that you called upon Him for salvation. That's what you knew. But if you've been reading your Bible, the more you read the Bible, the more the Holy Spirit reveals to you the truth of the Word of God and teaches you the Word of God. Does it make sense to you that you're going to know Jesus Christ more and more as you grow to be a Christian. The more you're conformed to Him, the more you're going to know Him. The more you read your Bible, the more you're going to know Jesus Christ. The more you're going to know about God. And all that comes about from, well, you being saved, and that's a benefit that the Lord has given you as His child to reveal more to you about Himself. In 1 John chapter 1, look at verse 1. It says this. John says, "That which was from the beginning, which we heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us." In other words, he's saying this, what we saw, and the person that we spoke to, the person that we touched, Jesus Christ, we're writing this to reveal Him unto you. Verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." And so what a great benefit it is to know that you have the Word of God, that when you read that Word of God, it reveals more about Jesus Christ, more about God to you. You know, and you say, well, lost people have that. No, the lost people can read their Bible, but that Bible tells you that they're spiritually discerned. A person today that's not saved does not have a spiritual understanding that you have. The moment you got saved, now you have the Holy Spirit of God within you that teaches you the spiritual aspect of your Bible. So therefore, you can know more about Jesus Christ than any lost person could ever get from that Bible. You can know more about God than any lost person could ever get it, because you have God Himself revealing His words to you. What a great benefit that is. Isn't it a great benefit to know today that whenever you go through something, that you have the Scriptures here that can comfort you? You know, the Lord says, I need to leave that the Comforter may come, over in John chapter 16, that the Comforter may come. You know, that He's not called Comforter just because the Lord had to just stick a name to Him. He really is the Comforter. In other words, He comforts you during times when times are tough. Whenever you need a word of encouragement, whenever you need there's something wrong in your life and you need that to be revealed to you, what that is, it's all the Lord using His Word and revealing Himself more and more to you each time. And so you know the Lord more. And it's a benefit to be able to do that. Do you realize the Lord didn't have to reveal Himself to you at all? He didn't have to. In fact, the Lord didn't have to save you. The Lord didn't have... What I'm trying to say is this. Sometimes we think the Lord owes us something, but the truth of the matter is the Lord doesn't owe us anything. And in fact, He gives us way more than what we deserve. You know what that's called, folks? It's called grace. He gives us far more than we deserve. And if you think about just you being able to read your Bible and understanding it and know more about the Lord Jesus Christ, that is a great benefit to being saved. And so to have the promise of God revealed to us as believers, a great benefit. And then also, just as we mentioned before, there are also those spiritual benefits that we have. In Psalm 103, turn back to Psalm 103, and I'm going to show you just a few of these great spiritual benefits that you have of being a Christian, being a child of God. We know that we have social benefits like, you know, a church family, and we have physical benefits. The Lord's going to provide for all of our needs, and the Lord certainly reveals Himself in Scripture to us. Those are all great benefits. But the greatest of the benefits that we have as Christians are the spiritual benefits. And, you know, sometimes we think the only thing out there are physical. But, you know, the truth of the matter is our physical, this flesh is going to die one of these days. But your spiritual is going to last forever, and then you're going to get a new body on top of that. And so we need to be concerned about our spiritual benefits. Now, in Psalm 103, look if you would at verse 3. It says, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction." Just imagine where we would be today if the Lord had not forgiven us of our sins and our iniquities. Can you imagine having that? If the Lord did not forgive us of those things, can you imagine carrying around the weight of all your sins and all your iniquities, knowing that you had sinned, all the sins that you've ever committed against the Holy God, and you still had to pay the wages of those sins one day? Can you imagine going through life like that? That's what lost people go through every day. And they don't even think about those things. But it's been revealed to you the truth about your sin. And you've been forgiven those sins. In other words, every sin that you've ever committed, the moment you got saved, Jesus said, okay, every sin you've ever committed in your life, every sin that you're committing right now, and every sin that you ever will commit, they're all under the blood. Now, if you think about that, folks, you think about what a great benefit that is. Amen. To know that your sins have been forgiven, every single one of them. You never have to pay the wages of sin. Now, listen, when you sin, there is a consequence. You're gonna reap what you sow. But when it comes to the condemnation of your soul, every single sin you've ever committed, if you're saved tonight, every one of them, Jesus has forgiven. And you never have to pay the wages of that anymore because he paid for it all on the cross. Now we say, well, boy, I don't think that really means a lot. It may not mean a lot to you today. But when you get to the point to where you know and you realize that there is a lake of fire out there and you will never even have the smell of that smoke upon you for your sins, that's something to be thankful for. That's something to be thankful for. Now, look what else it says there in verse 4. It says, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. As children of God, we have the great benefit of being crowned with kindness and mercy. But the Lord doesn't just stop there and say kindness and mercy. He says loving kindness and tender mercies. And it's been said that the difference between kindness and loving kindness and the difference between mercy and tender mercies is the difference between a flower of fragrance and a flower without fragrance. In other words, you have mercies, but then you have tender mercies, and you have kindness and then loving kindness. Psalm 25:6 says, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Psalm 40, verse 11 says, withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Psalm 51:1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. You know, the Lord gives us those things. Those are benefits. Loving kindness and tender mercies from the Creator of all things is a benefit that we have as the children of God that the lost world does not have. As children of God, God gives us physical benefits such as food and raiment. He gives us social benefits such as family and friends and church family. He gives us intellectual benefits like revealing himself to us. He gives us spiritual benefits such as forgiveness and loving kindness and tender mercies. But, you know, we don't have to wait till eternity to enjoy what the Lord has in store for us today. Psalm 68:19 says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us up with benefits. So, listen, it didn't just happen the moment you got saved. The Lord gives you those benefits every single day. Now, you think about this. Now, this is the thing that when we start to think about who we are compared to who Christ is and what we receive compared to what we give him, I want you to think about this tonight. Even us at our best, we are wicked. Amen? Now I'll prove it to you. Look at what the Lord gives us every single day and look at how we repay the Lord for what he gives us, what we give back to him. You know, every day I look at myself in the mirror and I think about the things that I do and the things that I don't do. Remember this, if you know to do good and you don't do it, that's sin. If that which is not of faith is sin. How many times do we sit here and worry about things every day when we serve a God who can take care of anything? How many times do we know to do good, but yet we don't do it? How many times do we sin during the day with our thoughts and the thing, you know, wanting things and wanting more things and coveting after things? And if you think about all of that, but yet every day, daily, he loads us up with benefits. Daily, he gives you loving kindness. He gives you tender mercies. Daily, he gives you grace. Daily, he reveals himself to you. Daily, he provides for your physical needs. Daily, he takes care of your spiritual needs. The Lord is doing this every day, loading us up with benefits. But yet, how do we treat him? You see, we do serve a great God. We serve a merciful, gracious God who loves us very much. And I'll tell you something, folks, we need to be more thankful. You know, if you think about it, all the way through that Bible, the Lord demands obedience. And the Lord wants people to choose him. And if you think about it, everything that was made for his pleasure. We're told that in Revelation. Everything is for his pleasure. But you know what pleases the Lord? When you read the New Testament, what pleases him is for people just to say, thank you, Lord. Just thank you, Lord. And if you think about all the things he gives us every day, the benefits and all these different things, we take a lot of those things for granted, don't we? A lot of them for granted. We have the greatest benefit there is, the greatest thing in life is to be a Christian, if you think about it. I mean, think about what you have today compared to what you had before you got saved. But yet there are so many people today that want to go back to that lifestyle. They want to go back to the way it was before they got saved. They sit there and think about, oh, how great it was then, how wonderful it was then, back in the good old days. Listen, what did the world have? What benefits did the world give you that even come close to the benefits you have today as a Christian? Name one. I would go back to that thing for nothing. Why in the world would I ever want to go back to a time like that? Why? Well, listen, since I've been a Christian, you out there and people are going to think, you know, that you're some sort of radical, or you think that you're some kind of, freak because you want to live for the Lord. But that's small potatoes. Look at what you have. I mean, if I went no more tonight than just saying you're going to heaven, well, that's a bigger benefit than anything the world's got to offer right there. I mean, the case would be closed right there. Amen? But then you throw everything else on there, and we really do have it good as Christians. The Lord does take care of us. And so, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us up with benefits. And certainly these benefits can be forgotten by believers. Now, I don't think that believers actually forget the benefits we have in Christ, because we can read the Bible and we can see those things. But sometimes we just take them for granted. We really do. Or even to be more specific, other things in this life sometimes crowd out in our minds to where we don't consider those benefits that we have all the time. We're always thinking about something else. And I think the devil's behind that a lot. I think the devil puts a lot of things out there where we start looking and we start focusing in on these different things, and we forget just what we have in the Lord. For instance, whatever's closest to your heart is what you're going to be thinking about the most. Amen? I mean, think about this. If you're a miser, how many of you know what a miser is? You know, it's all about making money and not spending it. You know? And I guess you could call him a hoarder, maybe. But a miser will remember anything that will help him accumulate money. Whether it be strategies of money-making schemes or whatever it may be, he's always going to remember those things. Why? Because that's where his heart is. Remember that Bible says that where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be also? Wherever your heart is, that's going to be the thing that you're going to remember. If I work in the stock market and that's all I'm thinking about is making money in the stock market, I'm going to remember just about everything about that stock market when it comes to making money, when it comes to doing this, when it comes to doing that. I'm going to remember those things. I'm not going to forget those things very often, am I? You know, if my biggest thing is being an auto mechanic, I could probably tell you. In fact, at one time, I used to work a job years ago, and it was an aircraft mechanic, and I really liked the job. I mean, it was at the time my life. I mean, that's what I put everything into, and I could tell you every torque, what this bolt had to be torqued to, and what that bolt had to be torqued to, and I never forgot those things. Why? Because that's where my heart was at that time. Didn't forget about those things. But isn't it a strange thing that we forget about the benefits of God? You know what that tells us? That our heart's not quite in it as much as it is other things. Amen? Right. Now, you can have things today that you can name. I'll tell you something. Now, this is getting a little bit closer to home here. It's a strange thing how we can quote things from movies and TV shows, and we can fire them things off just like that. But yet, when it comes time to quote Scripture, we're not so good at that. Why do you suppose that is? Because we can tell what means most to us by what we remember and what we forget about. Well, we sometimes forget about the benefits that we have as a Christian, but there are a lot of things that we don't forget about. How about this? You ever met somebody that once somebody did them wrong, they never forget that? Never forget that. Oh, I remember years ago that guy did this to me, and boy, I tell you what, I've forgiven him, but I'll never forget. Well, isn't it something that we cannot forget about that, but yet we're so quick to forget about the things of the Lord? You see how that all works? I tell you what, when I started thinking about this thing for this message, I'll tell you what I started to think is, oh, you know what? I'm a piece of work. Amen. I really am. I started thinking about all the things that I remember every day that if you ask me, I'll fire it that quick to you. And I'm starting to think to myself, how come those things aren't what they should be? You know, that we should know Scripture. We should know the benefits. We should be willing to name a bunch of benefits that the Lord gives us every day. But we're not always able to do that. Why? Because it's not closest to our heart. And it should be. It should be. You know, we remember a lot of things that are meaningless, that have nothing to do with anything. But yet, the things that are most important, like the benefits we have as a Christian, sometimes we take that for granted. The Lord does provide for us, and we should be thankful for those things. And the more that we're thankful for those things, the more we'll start to see the benefits that the Lord has for us. If you think about it, Job is probably one of the greatest examples of a person who remembered the benefits of being a child of God or being somebody in favor with the Lord. If you think about this, everything that would mean the most to us was taken away from him in a moment. His family, his riches, everything was taken from him. I mean, if you think about this, he had his animals. He had the farm or ranch that he was living on. He had his family. He had sons and daughters. He had everything that we would hold to be very important in today's world. He would be considered today a very rich man if you look at the things that he had. But in a moment, all of it was taken away from him. And here's what he said in Job 1:21. And it just blows my mind every time I read this. He says this: after everything gets taken away from him, and a person comes in there, hey, Job, you just lost all your animals. Hey, Job, you just lost everything that you own. Hey, Job, you just lost all your kids. You have nothing now. Your family's gone. Your riches are gone. Your cattle's gone. Everything's gone. You have nothing. Nothing. Taken away from you. I sit there and ask myself, boy, how would I react to that? Here's how Job reacted to it. He said, the Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to tell you right now, I think that Job said something I don't know that I could say if it happened to me. Why? Because Job understood the benefits. He understood the benefits. He said this in Job 2:10, he says, shall we receive good at the hand of God and shall we not receive evil? Wow. I think that makes him one of the greater men of faith in that Bible to say something like that. And you say, well, yeah, but then he had his wife, wicked old woman. I'll tell you this. You name a woman in that Bible that lost more than his wife did. Yeah, his wife said, Job, why don't you just go ahead and curse God and die? And we look at her as being the bad one. I can't believe she'd say such a thing as that. Let me tell you something. There isn't a woman in this room that probably wouldn't say what she said. Can you imagine that? She just lost her kids. You think she's going to be a little bit bitter? I think I'd be as bitter as she is. Amen? But maybe she didn't recognize the benefits like Job did. To her, it was all about the physical, not the spiritual. And so he's a great example of a person that understood benefits. Now, there are two reasons why we must remember the benefits we have as a Christian. Number one, because of the gratitude we owe God for them. We got to remember the benefits we have because of the gratitude that we owe God. We owe God to be thankful, to be thankful people. We owe Him that. In fact, we owe Him so much more than that. You know, if you think about it, we would never be able to pay back God for everything He did for us, even on the cross of Calvary, let alone everything since then. The way the things He's provided for us, we'd never be able to pay Him back for that. So how do we pay Him back for that? Well, let me ask you this. And this is one thing I sometimes throw up to my family. Whenever my son says, "Dad, you know, I did this, you owe me, Dad." First thing I say to him is like, "Okay, I owe you, huh? Well, I tell you what, why don't you subtract the rent and you subtract the heating cost for you and, of course, the food. And, you know, and I start naming all these things to show him that really I don't owe you anything." Amen? When we start to think that God owes us something, and we do sometimes, I want you to think about everything God provides for you. We could never pay God back for all He's done for us no more than our kids could ever pay us back for all the things we've done for them. Amen? I mean, from the time that they were born, changing their diapers and feeding them, all the way up until their time out of the house, if you took every little thing and added up, there's no way they could ever pay us back. And we wouldn't want them to anyway, because, amen, we're doing it because we love them. That's what the Lord is doing for us. Everything He does for us is because He loves us. He wants the best for us. The Lord, listen, even if you could pay Him back, it isn't like the Lord says, "Okay, I want you to start, you know, making payments, payment installments." Even if he would not take it back. He would never take it, even if you could pay Him back. But you can't pay Him back. You can't. So how? What do you do? Well, you do to Him what you want your kids to do for you. What do we say? Saying thank you would be nice every now and then. Isn't that what we say? That's what the Lord wants. He knows you can never pay Him back. He doesn't want you to pay Him back, but He does want you to be grateful for the things that you have. That's what He wants. And that Bible tells you that's what we are to do. Why should we remember those benefits? Well, because we owe Him that gratitude. We owe Him that. I mean, we can't do anything else, so what can we do? We can say, "Thank you, Lord, for the benefits you give us every day. Thank you, Lord, for putting upon us benefits daily, loading us up daily with benefits. Thank you, Lord, for those things." That's one reason why we must remember those benefits. And the second reason we must remember those benefits that we have in Christ is because of the confidence that those benefits inspire in us. Every time that we see the Lord provide for us, every time we remember that we're sealed until the day of redemption, every time that we consider things like heaven being our home, it gives us confidence when it comes to handling the trials of life. If you think about everything the Lord provides for you every day, the promises, the physical benefits of having a church family, providing for you, giving you the things that you need, and the spiritual benefits. If you think about all those things that He gives you daily, doesn't it make it easier to handle whenever you go through tough times? To know that, well, I still have my church family. The Lord gave me that. Well, yeah, even though it's tough, the Lord will provide. It sure is good knowing that, isn't it? Oh, and, well, if worse comes to worse, if it really gets bad, then I guess I'd die and just be in the presence of the Lord. Nice benefit, isn't it? Does that give you confidence to handle these things? Just you knowing that the benefits that you have should give us far more confidence than the world could ever have. Can you imagine living this life not knowing that you don't have the benefits like that? Knowing that when you die, that this is as close to heaven as you'll ever get. Knowing that the Father is not providing for you the things that you need. Knowing you don't have a church family. Boy, I tell you what, folks, it makes that life easier. Knowing, hey, even just knowing the things right there in that Bible you've been reading, all those promises that the Lord's revealed to you. Pretty nice benefits, wouldn't you say? I tell you this, we need to be more thankful for the benefits that we have. Yes, there may be some jobs out there that'll pay your insurance, pay half, copay, whatever it may be, for the benefits, but there is no benefit in the world that's better than you have as a Christian tonight? Amen. None. The greatest benefit, I'll tell you right now, and I'll close with this. The greatest benefit I have, honestly, is the retirement plan. You know, there are a lot of people today, they say, hey, you're an independent Baptist preacher, right? I said, yeah. They said, so what's your retirement plan? I was like, let me tell you my retirement plan. My retirement plan is I'll be in the presence of the Lord. That's the best retirement plan of all, amen? I mean, name one better than that, you know? I know a lot of people today, they save up and they say, hey, boy, we can't wait till we reach our golden years and we can retire and life is going to be so wonderful. And I tell you this, every time when they get to that point to where they're living their golden years, they say, you know, it's not everything it's cracked up to be.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
We have a great retirement plan. We have great benefits. Amen?